How many believe you're in the right place?
Yes, Lord.
At the right time. To receive a blessing.
Yes, Lord.
From the Lord.
Receive it.
Amen. Well, maybe I ought to rephrase that. How many need a blessing from the Lord this morning? Amen. Well, let me tell you, you're in the right place.
At the right time.
To receive a blessing from the Lord. Amen. Amen. There was a word I want to lift today from 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. Amen. Y'all been shouting all morning long. With the music.
Yes.
That's been good.
Amen.
Amen. Come on. But it's the word that'll save you.
That's right. That's right.
It's Amen. The word that will keep you once Amen. You get saved.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Second Kings chapter 4. Verse number 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor has come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full.
Yeah.
So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel.
Yes.
And he said unto her, There's not a vessel more, and the oil stayed.
Yes.
Then she said and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy sons off of the rest.
Yes.
Amen. I want to talk today from this thought, Bring me what's empty. Bring me what's
Come on. Help him, Lord. 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 Come on.
Bring me what's empty.
Yeah.
As I go about daily in and around the city, I meet people on a daily basis who are barely getting by. They're living from paycheck to paycheck, going from one crisis to another crisis. Our churches, our communities, our cities are dealing with desperate, hurting people who are at the end of their rope. Perhaps the rescue result are the result of a doctor's report, a failed business, a death of a loved one, a marriage that's about to fail, children who can't seem to get it together. Whatever the reason, whatever the stress, whatever the struggle, there are scores of people that are barely hanging on, that are on the verge of giving up. For reasons known only to them, they will never admit it, but they are in trouble. They are in dire need. They feel like maybe it's not worth it all. They would rather look good. They would rather dress well and seem prosperous at all costs rather than admit how desperate they really are. Stories told of a man who was sweeping the streets, and a long stretch limo pulled up. The man sweeping the streets said, who are you? Who are you? What are you representing? The man in the stretch limo said, Get in. I wanna show you something. The man got in, and the man took him and showed him where he started from. And the man said, how in the world did you go from where you are now, where you were then, to where you are now? The man in the stretch limo said, listen, I didn't have much when I started out. He said, but the little bit that I had, he said, I submitted it unto the Lord, and the Lord kept on blessing me over and over again, and I saw you sweeping the streets, and I simply wanted to pick you up and let you know that God told me to stop by and bless you simply because you're doing the best you can at the job that you have. And how many know that God will bless you if you simply do the best you can with what you have? Don't complain about what you don't have, but how many here today thank God for what you do have? Maybe you don't have everything that you want. Maybe you don't have the best of this or the best of that, but how many can thank God for what you do have? Do I have anybody in here today can say, Pastor, I don't shop at the best places. I don't wear the finest of clothes, but I thank God for the little bit that I do have. I thank God that they still got a Goodwill. They still got a secondhand store. That Target still marked down some things. And I thank God for the little bit that I do have. While it's one man's struggle to get there, it's another man's struggle to stay there. Walk with me around the text. There was a certain woman who was married to a prophet. Her husband was a prophet, but he died and left her in debt. Her creditors are on her doorstep. Her sons are about to be sold into slavery to pay off her debt. She's empty, she's broken, she's desperate, she's in despair. Keep in mind, there is no Medicare, there is no Social Security, there are no food stamps. She is by herself with her two sons. The roof is about to be taken from over her head. She will be thrown into the streets, and her sons will be sold into slavery. And under Jewish law, they have the right to take her sons in order to cover her debt. Can you imagine having to forfeit your child for that TV, for that computer, or that furniture that you got from Rent-A-Center and didn't pay for, that auto you skipped out on? They have come to get not one, but both of your children in order to settle your debt. This woman is desperate. She's destitute, and she is alone. But she makes an appeal to the man of God because she knows to get to God directly, she's got to go through the prophet Elijah indirectly. Remember, Old Testament, God only dealt with the prophets directly. You couldn't go directly to God. You had to go through the priest or through the prophets. There was no dialogue between man and God. Jesus has not yet come to bridge the gap between man and God. This woman does not care that she has to get to God through a mediator. She wants her needs met. Listen, somebody gonna help me in here in a minute. It does not matter to her who she has to speak to. What she has to go through, she has to first empty herself of her pride before she can get her needs met. And maybe, just maybe in here today, the reason your need has not been met is you won't release your pride. Look at what she does. Number one, she came to the right source. When you know where help is, you need to make your way as quickly as possible as you can and leave your pride on the outside. We've learned to depend on ourselves. We're self-sufficient. We are entrepreneur. We don't need anybody else. We say, I pulled myself up by my own bootstrings. But how many know that you can't make it by yourself? How many know that if it had not been for the Lord on your side, where would you be? How many know he kept your enemies away? He let the sun shine through a cloudy day. Listen, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I don't know where I would be. Maybe you can make it by yourself, but listen, I need the Lord. Every second, every minute, every hour of the day. This woman goes to the right source. When you can't depend on anything or anybody else, how many know you can always depend on God? Do I have a witness in here today that when friends walk away, when family let you down, God will never leave you, nor will he ever forsake you. This woman was down. She was depressed. She was despondent and desperate. And out of her desperation, she goes to the right source, the man of God. If you have not yet been broken enough, sick enough, desperate enough, just keep on living. Life has a way of making you go to the right source. Matter of fact, that's why many of you are here today, because you're broke, sick. Maybe it's not physically sick, but sick and tired of being sick and tired. You've reached a point of desperation. I need to tell you today, you've come to the right place at the right time on the right day. Let me take a poll and prove my point. Are there any broke folk in here today? Are there any sick folk in here today? Are there any desperate folk in here today? You ought to tell at least three people you came to the right place. I think you talked to the wrong person. Tell somebody else, you came to the right place at the right day, at the right time. You came to the right place. My Father is rich in houses and land. The cattle of 1,000 heal the hills. You came to the right place. Church. And coming to church, Reverend Washington, teaches us how to hide our blemishes and our deficiencies. Because the fact is, you don't look every day like you look right now. Let me say that again. You don't look every day like you look right now. Listen, some of y'all are so pretty right now. I mean, y'all just absolutely gorgeous. But that ain't how you look when you first get up in the morning. How you look now is a fix up. You. Can I make the application spiritually? All of us at one time, we were ugly and lost and desperate in our transgressions, in our sins. But one day, Jesus found us and we found our way to the right source. Jesus picked us up, cleaned us up, sanctified us, forgave us, pulled us off the streets and clothed us in righteousness. Sitting in church on Sunday morning, dresses, teaches us how to fake it, how to look pious and religious. You cover up all your scars and all of your blemishes under your new clothes and your makeup, but take off all of that stuff when you come to Jesus. He knows who you are under all of that stuff, under all of that silk, all that mascara, all that new hairdo, under that new suit. He knows who you really are when you're all by yourself. And you can fool me. You can fool the person sitting next to you. But how many know you can't fool God? I tell you all the time, we are professional church folk. We know how to play church. Do I have a witness in here today? You can't beat some of us playing church. We know how. We know when to clap our hands. We know when to raise our hands. We know when to say glory, hallelujah. We know everything. And folk will think that we're really who we pretend to be. But follow some of us home. Matter of fact, you ain't got to go that far. Follow some of us around the corner off the church parking lot. And you'll hear some things and you'll see some things that you wouldn't think would come out of our. Matter of fact, you ain't got to go that far. Some of us don't know how to treat each other right here in the sanctuary. Won't sit next to sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so. Won't speak to this one or that one. But yet we say we've been saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. How you going to go to heaven if you can't get along down here? And so you got to stop all this faking and shaking. Jesus says the greatest love is to love your neighbor as yourself. But then he realized a whole lot of us don't love our neighbor. So he came back and cleaned that up. He said, love your neighbor as I have loved you. And listen, when you think about the fact Jesus loved you through all your mess, you know, stuff that don't nobody know about. I tell you all the time, don't tell folk all your business, but Jesus knows all your business, all your ups, all your low-down mess, but yet he still loves you. I wish I had some honest folk in here right now who ought to be shouting right about now when you think about the fact that Jesus still loves your ugly, messy, nasty self. He looked beyond your faults and met every one of your needs. Jesus still loves you, and yet you can't love your brother or your sister. How you gonna say you love me whom you've never seen but hate your brother that you see on a daily basis? We gotta learn to love each other. Stop all of this infighting. The church is not destroyed from the outside in, it's destroyed from the inside out. This woman came to the right source. And she lays it all on the line. She literally gets naked in front of Jesus, in front of Elisha. She literally says to him, my cup is empty. And I need the Lord to fill my cup. Yes, I need to ask the question, does anybody here need to be filled? Anybody walk in here empty today and don't mind other folk knowing it? Like this woman, you're desperate at the end of your rope, the hellhound on your trail, and you need the Lord to fill my cup. Fill it up, Lord, until it overflows. But bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. If you're not looking for anything, good for you. But I'm here today because I need something. I got beat up last week. I got scarred up last week. I missed the mark last week. I fell off the wagon last week. I need the Lord to fill me up today. Maybe you came in here today with everything right, every T crossed and every I dotted. Listen, to tell you the truth, I come to church to get my praise on because I'm empty today. Life has a way of taking it out of you, folk talking about you, lying on you, smiling in your face and scheming behind your back. They take it out of you on the job. They take it out of you in your family. They take it out of you at the church. Life has a way of taking it out of you. That's why when you get here on Sunday morning, you ought to tell the Lord, fill me up and make me whole. If you don't need nothing, just sit there. Listen, I'm going to try to get mine and yours. If you don't need it, I'll take yours and mine. Tell your neighbor, if you don't want it, I'll take it. That was the wrong neighbor. Tell the other neighbor, if you don't want it, I'll take it. Listen, how many need a double dose of the Holy Ghost? I need the Lord to fill me up today. Text says the woman borrowed her neighbor's pots to be filled. I come here to get all that God is going to give me, and if you don't want it, pass it here to me, because by the time I get to Wednesday, I need a refill. Anybody about the middle of the week need a refill? You know how it is when you go to the restaurant and you order the drink and they come by the table and ask you, do you need a refill? Anybody need to be filled? She went to the right source. The man of God asked her, what do you have in your house? Because I can't do nothing for you until you bring me something. I think I said something there. I don't care how much you pray, you got to go look for a job. I don't care how much you pray, you got to get up and do something, because God will not do for you what you can do for yourself. He said, you want me to do something for you? You've got to do something for me. And many of us sit on our seat of do nothing and want the Lord to do everything for us. Lord, help me. Lord, make a way for me. Lord, you know I need a job, but I ain't filled out now application. Can I use now? Okay, thank you. Lord, send me the right person. You're not the right person yourself. We want the Lord to do everything for us. But we've got to do something for him. He said, go borrow some vessels from your neighbor, empty vessels. Borrow not a few. Get everything, every empty vessel that you hand. I hate to go here, but I have to. There's a difference between women's faith and men's faith. Because had this person been a man, he would have gone and gotten some full vessels. Because it doesn't make sense to go get empty vessels when you need oil. So a man would have gone and borrowed some full vessels from somebody he knew had some full vessels. But that woman was foolish enough to go get some empty vessels, because she believed that if the man of God said it, it must be true. Men are slow to believe. They've got to see it in order to believe it. But women believe it before they can see it. I ought to have some women on my side right about here. You don't have to take my word for it. Men don't ever ask for directions. They'll drive all over the place, lost as a bat in the daytime. And that woman says, why don't you stop and ask somebody for directions? That man gets married, Just be quiet. I know where I'm going. I know what I'm. She'll get angry and say, Negro, stop this car. And find where we're going. We're already late. Women have no problem. If they need it, they go ask somebody. If they got to get to beg, borrow, and steal, they'll ask somebody. They will ask for what they need. The prophet said, don't just borrow a few. You limit the size of your own blessings when you just think God is limited to a few blessings. Do I have a witness in here today? How many know that God is a big God, that whatever you want, God's able to supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory, and we limit ourselves. God has more than a few blessings. I mean, why ask for an apartment when he owns mansions? You have not because you ask not. In this season, as we prepare for 21 days of prayer, listen, you ought to ask God for some big things. Stop nickel and diming your blessings. Stop your small mindedness when it comes to God. God has more than a few. He said, borrow not a few. Don't come back here with a few vessels. Because as many vessels you can gather, that's how many blessings you're going to receive. She did not argue. She did not debate. She did not dialogue. She sent her sons out. She went out, and they brought back all the empty vessels they could find. Not only did she go to the right source, but not only did she bring what she had, but third and finally, she followed directions. She did just what the man of God told her to do. And how many times do we ask God for something but fail to follow his directions? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all things will be added unto you. Look at what happens when you follow God's directions. She started with a vow. But because she followed the directions, the more she poured in, the more the oil flowed. In order for the vessels to be filled, they had to first be empty. Listen, oil is a symbol of the Holy Ghost. And in order for God to fill you, you've got to empty yourself. The reason God can't fill some of y'all is because you're full of too much hell. You're full of too much hate. You're full of too much jealousy. You're full of too much envy. But God says you got to empty out all of that stuff. Because he said he would not dwell, his spirit would not dwell in an unclean temple. And instead of y'all walking around here hating on other folk, you ought to get rid of that hate and say, Lord, fill me with your love. Fill me with your spirit. Bring me what you have. Follow my directions and watch me fill your cup. That's what the old folks said when they said, I have decided to follow Jesus. Anybody here today decided that I am going to follow Jesus? Though none go with me, I still will follow. The world behind me, the cross before me, I've decided that I will follow Jesus. And I'll go if I have to go by myself. I've got to leave you now. But Lord, fill my cup until it runs over. David said, thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I've got to leave you now, but is there anybody here need the Lord to fill you up? Is there anybody here need something from the Lord? I dare you to tell the Lord, here I am, fill me up. Here I am, fill me up. I need your grace. I need your spirit. I need your love. Here I am, fill me up. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he fill you up until it overflows? Ain't he all right? Ain't the Lord all right? Can you say glory? Glory! Hallelujah! If you don't want your blessing, give it to me. If you don't want your blessing, give it to me. You ought to tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, if you don't want it, I'll take it. If you don't want it, I'll take it. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Glory! Glory! If you want the Lord to fill you up, you've got to empty yourself. You got to get rid of all of that hate, all of that malice, all of that jealousy. The spirit can't get in there because there's so much other stuff. Elisha told her, go get some empty vessels. I don't need full vessels. I need empty vessels. And whatever your emptiness is today, whatever you need the Lord to fill in your life, how many know God is able to fill? How many here have lost a mother, but God's been a mother for you? How many have lost a father, but God's been a father for you? The Lord will fill up whatever your need is. But you've got to first empty yourself and allow the Lord to fill you up. If you're here today, maybe you got some empty places in your life that you've been trying to fill it with everything but the Word of God. Been trying to fill it with outside things, with worldly things. You need to give it to the Lord and ask the Lord to fill you. He's able to fill you up. He's able to fill you up till you're running over. Whatever's empty in your life, submit it to the Lord and say, Lord, fill my cup until it overflows.